It's a show about women, for women, and empowering women. This is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Cocktails and Conversation again with Maureen Moore. And I'm here today on a beautiful day with the Designing Women. You ask, who are the Designing Women? So first, we have Tracy McMonagle here today. You know, her company is Custom Window Treatments, Pillows, Bedding, and Accessories. Well, I got to tell you, Tracy comes to my house and she gasps every time she comes in and then finds a project for us at the house. So it's always kind of great because she's so talented and been a dear, dear friend for the last 40 years. And then we also have Elke Koch. Now, Elke is the signature voice behind Saddleback Chocolates, all of our commercials, and a very dear close friend as well. But she has EK Interior Design. You go to Elke's house, nothing's out of place. It's perfect. It's like walking into architectural design on a daily basis. So today I have the two Designing Women, and I'd like to welcome you both. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So, you know, let's start out as we always do. Tracy, so as a St. Louis girl, tell me a little bit about yourself so that our listeners can hear all about you.
Well, like you said, I born and raised in St. Louis and actually in the Sunset Hills area. And after college, I went to Mizzou. Go Tigers.
You were a golden girl there.
I was, which I enjoyed immensely. After that, I traveled to Dallas, where I met my husband and actually came back up here for him to work with my father at the time, who was a mason contractor. And during that time, I was working at the World Trade Center and found a love for designing.
You majored in design, too, didn't you?
Yes. I did.
At Mizzou.
I actually was fashion merchandising with a minor in design.
Okay, that is so cool. And didn't you end up at Lambert's at some point, too?
Yes, I did. Oh my gosh. That's where actually who believed in me and gave my start, where I was an assistant buyer with
such a great purchase. I mean, you know, Tracy can shop all the time. Yeah, we can cut that.
Oh, can I say Polly Lambert? Or not?
Yeah, you can say it. I mean, yeah, that's not a problem.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know if I could be saying her name.
Okay. Yeah, oh yeah.
That's
where
I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So go ahead and say you were assistant buyer.
I was assistant gift buyer with Polly Lambert at the time, and a designer came in frantically looking for someone to make a shower curtain and didn't know if I knew of anybody, of any other workrooms around, because the current workroom was too busy to get that completed. I told her I could do that. She kind of looked at me with four eyes and was like, we really need somebody professional to do that.
And that's some kid off the street.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went ahead and I went home and I bought nice upholstered fabric, drapery fabric, and made up this shower curtain that she had drawn up for me. And I went ahead and made it and showed her the next day when I came back and showed her what I had done. And she was like, you've got to be kidding me. Tell me who did this and where's this workroom? And I just looked at her and I said, it was me.
And I know,
so
you were
from
so
then
talented.
On out, she really believed in me and gave me jobs. And from there on out, I worked with several top designers, I feel, that are top-notch designers around in St. Louis. And it's now been about 27 years of being a drapery workroom.
I've seen some of the work you've done. I remember when you did Joy Krieger's, you know, all the stuff for Joy. You know, she moved to North Carolina.
No.
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you about that. Yeah. Joy just moved a few weeks ago. Oh, yeah. And Elke, you did work for Joy as well, didn't you?
I did her home in West County.
Yeah. Oh, that was some beautiful work there, too. That was so. Elke, tell us a little bit. Okay, the voice that you guys all hear, Elke's voice is actually from Germany. And so is Elke. I should say Elke came with the voice. So, Elke, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Germany, too, at the end of World War II, which I guess was a bit challenging. My mother was in Paris with my dad, and she was allowed to come home and give birth, but then had to go back. So I was really raised by my grandparents. And I guess as a child, I was what I call it wasn't abnormal, but I grew up playing in bombed out buildings with rubble all over, mm-hmm. but that was the norm at the time. But my grandparents made it seem like very normal, so I didn't know that other kids didn't do that. And, of course, having been, you know, being from Germany and being exposed to a multicultural country because all the West, France, Italy was very close, I always had a love for the different cultures, languages, design, art, history. And I always said from little on, I want to be a designer. But given the age and the time after the war, it was really not available. So I went to high school, or gymnasium, what we call, and ended up going to the University of Mainz, where I was told that I should graduate something in a subject that would help me. So I majored in business and finance, which the business and finance end of it mm-hmm. is coming very helpful in my business mm-hmm. for the financial aspect of it. And after I graduated, again, I had several people that sort of believed in me. And at the time, I moved to Wiesbaden, and Wiesbaden was a big place for a big hub with the United States Armed Services. And I had a mentor there. I met a gentleman, and with the ability to speak several languages, introduced me to someone, and I became a translator for NATO. So it's a long story. I ended up not in the business that I wanted to be, but I never gave up on my dream. And I knew someday that's what I wanted to do. And it was always a passion. Even, this is sort of side time, but even as a little girl, I looked at chairs, I looked at fabric, and I didn't look at how the dresses were made, but I wanted to feel and touch mm-hmm. the fabrics. So I worked for NATO and met an American officer and came to the United States in 1974 and ended up at SAC headquarters in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, that was quite a shock.
Yes, yeah, wasn't that a shock? Can you imagine
So it
that?
Wasn't exactly the highlight of what I expected in America. But to make a long story short,
Doc
I didn't...
going, this is America.
I didn't, okay. I didn't get married, but I found myself there, and I needed a job. So again, I met someone, and I worked with American Cancer Society there. And I became a program director, developed a program, and presented it in New York at an annual meeting. And Missouri, the director for Missouri, needed a program director, offered me the job, and that's how I ended up in St. Louis. And I worked for the Cancer Society for about 3 years. And the second type angel
right.
was one of my volunteers was James Brown, Jimmy Brown, who was the chairman at Mercantile Bank. And he said, you need to come work for me. Let me have you interview some of my VPs. So I interviewed, and they gave me a job in marketing, developed a program for seniors called MESA. Mm-hmm. And so I went, you know, Mercantile at the time was one of the largest banks in Missouri. So I developed a program for seniors called MESA, Mercantile Exclusive Senior Account, and grew the program to $5 billion. And during that time, I also met my husband. And finally, you know, he kept saying, you know, you always talk about design. Why don't you do that? And I said, well, once we got married in 89.
Took him 5 years to ask you.
It took him a little while.
You're used
and
to that length, aren't you?
He's normally not yeah. slow. Yeah. He's an attorney, but yeah. it took him a while.
Yes.
So,
yeah, like Tracy
we
said,
got
I'm
married,
used to that
and he said, you know what? If you're ever going to do it, do it. So I quit my job and started my company. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got to the design. So with that, it isn't normally easy to get started in the business because it's very difficult. And I had, through recommendations of a friend, got a commission for a 10,000, that was my first house, mm-hmm. a 10,000 square foot house. But I had done my own homes and people have seen it, and so they recommended me. And at the time, Higginbottom Builders was one of the foremost building company in town, and Mitch Wall was the architect. And after I did the house, they were so impressed, they started referring their clients to me. And so the rest is history. So really, I got started rather quickly. The first house took 2 years, about 10,000 square feet. But then after that, the referrals started coming in. So I got a quick start, and here I am, 20-some years, 30-some years later.
Doing just exquisite work. Both of you do. I mean, I'm looking at Tracy, and Tracy's kind of like, you don't.
I'm not exciting as that. I mean.
You are.
I start off with a shower curtain.
No, but let me tell you.
Work my way up to a couple pillows.
That's not really true, Tracy, because having a workroom is probably a great backbone for what I do. Without workrooms, I couldn't do my job.
So, thank you.
You are a very, very integral part of all designers, because we come to you with a picture with a sketch, and then you make it happen.
Yeah,
so,
we do. And some of those sketches aren't easy to decipher, but we managed to pull it off. And I'm probably
in that category.
Yeah.
Window treatments to me are just, they soften the room. They're like the icing on the cake.
They completely finish
a room. So once I had decided to kind of go on that end after taking back, you know, bringing a client several lamps and prints or an oil paintings, and them going no, and having to take those back and then schlepper more and take it back, I thought, all right, I know which, you know, I was seemed to be right on spot with all their window treatments, and I love the feel of textures and fabrics, and seem to have an eye for what blends and what doesn't work, and so I decided, you know what, Trace, you need to stick with the window treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lack of workrooms back then when I seemed to have started, which I thought, but now we're all about the same age as all my other friends that are workrooms.
And things have changed. I think styles have changed. Things have gotten a lot simpler.
Yes.
I don't do the elaborate drapes anymore, but yet you still need the finished product, whether it's a cornice or, as you said, you know, it still finishes up the room.
So what do you call that thing that you did for me in my dining room when you didn't like what I had and I was having? I should say that Elke and I are in the same literary ladies book club as well. And I was having book club a few weeks after Tracy and her husband Mike were at the house. And Tracy looked at the dining room, the big picture window in the dining room, and said, oh, my. Well, you go ahead. You say what you
said. Well, you know I love you, but it was a train wreck.
It was a train wreck. And she goes, and you're having all those gals here?
You just took a 55-inch wide fabric and then just draped it.
Yeah. I thought it looked very artistic, you know?
I mean, and you just cut it. You just cut it off, and nothing was even. Nothing's lined. Nothing.
I know.
Had tapered corners on it. So what little fabric you gave me, I tried to create something on a valance, a little flat swag on a valance using every ounce of fabric you gave me. And then you went ahead and you hung that board-mounted valance on top of a pole.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Well, I just looked at him, seriously? I gave you the L brackets, and what do? You put it on top of your pole with rings. So now it leans forward. And it's still a train wreck after I tried to fix it.
You can fix it all the way when you decide you want to do it, okay?
One day.
I'm loose on that stuff. You guys know how I am. I'm more concerned that the pool is clear, you know, and that I can be down at the pool. But that's the whole thing. That's why it's so important to have women like you both, because we need designing women that are going to bring, you know, such beauty to, you know, to our homes and really kind of tie them together and work together on that. And, you know, Mike Moore and I have a different style. It's that Eddie Bauer kind of ranch look, you know, and
Christmas ornaments in your trees.
Yes, I do. I have more Christmas ornaments in my trees. Yes.
And that is, what are we in, June?
That's okay. Well, I'm ready for next year already.
Oh, I like someone that's on top of everything.
it is funny, though, because, you know, with Tracy and I, we can kind of banter back and forth, and Elke, on the other hand, will just give me a certain look and kind of go, now, dear, we need to work on this, or we need to do this, you know, and she does it in such a kind way. Tracy just calls me a schmuck, and that's over, you know. So let's get to a few more things without picking on poor Mo anymore, okay? So
sure,
thanks. It's like book club, you know. I mean, how many times did you say at book club, the last book club, you're like, you really read the book? You were so surprised. I actually read the book. You were impressed. Yeah. She was impressed.
But we have a need group. We belong to a book club together.
We do.
It's a little like you say. What do you do for fun? And sometimes, and we have a terrific group of women, and different backgrounds, but we all seem to really click, and we became good friends. And they are a great support system. We all really support each other. And it's nice to see that in a group of women. No matter what, I can call any one of them up and say, I have a problem, and they listen. And during book club, usually one of us has a problem.
Right.
And you ask, you know, sometimes what books we read, and it varies. Somebody picks a book, and whoever picks the book then has to lead the discussion. And currently, I'm hosting
You're hosting September, aren't you?
I'm hosting October.
Oh, October.
And I'm picked a gentleman from Moscow, and it's about the revolution and the history of Russia, and it's about a count. It's very interesting, but every once in a while, I just want to lay back and read trash. So I love murder mysteries, and James Patterson is one of my favorite mystery writers. And so right now I'm reading, I think, The People versus Alex Cross. Alex Cross is usually his detective. And I think it feels great because you can put it down in the plane, you pick it back up, and you don't have to go back 10 pages to try to catch up what you just read.
Because what's the one we just read? Well, The Girl in Cabin 10 is the one that I hosted.
You did that.
And that was great because I sat in Cabo, and in between whale watching, I was able to read the whole book. You know, now Mike was reading, and Jim, you would appreciate this. Mike was reading the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar one, where it was Coach Walton. Have you seen that book or read that book
yet? I have heard of this book.
That is such a good book.
I love where you can get a little insight.
Oh, yeah.
Former players.
Yeah. And what was so cool with that book is, you know, I'd be reading. I'd be in a really intense part in my book, you know. And then Mike would say, hey, listen to this. And then he'd read me because Mike does feel that he needs to read me 5 pages at a time so that I'd be right in an intense part. You know, we're on the beach and he's reading that book. But it was what a great, you know, conversation and what a great relationship that Coach Wooden had with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
That was cool. So, and I'm glad to see you're paying attention, Jim. Thank you.
Always paying attention.
I know.
If not, then we're all in trouble.
Yeah. Tracy, you read?
I do.
I do. Good for you, Trace.
When were you gracious enough to invite me to Mexico? Let's see. When was it?
I know. When did we go to Mexico? And you made fun of me there.
So I started reading then.
Did you start reading then?
Housewives eating bonbons. I'm almost finished.
You're almost finished with that. Well, you should see Elkie. Tracy is working always through the night. I mean, it seems like it doesn't matter when you're at your house. You have 10 different projects in different, you know, in different periods of time, and you're always having to work.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's always last minute. Everybody, we come in, when can you get this done? Because the client is finished and they want their drapes up or the bedspread done.
And then the fabric is back ordered.
You're always on a really, really tight schedule.
So being a workroom does have its, you know, drawbacks. You're pretty much on call all the time, which I get calls at 10 o'clock saying, oh, my gosh, I just got home, and that fabric is sitting on my doorstep. Is there any way? The install, I know, is not till 3. Is there any way you can get those, at least the pillows, done for her sofa? And I'll do whatever I can, especially if it's a designer that is pretty much my bread and butter.
Right.
But it does. I mean, in this business, it's crazy, and fabrics keep getting back ordered.
I find that.
And you just can't seem to finish it up, and that installs the next morning, and you know, you'll do whatever it is because installers are not easy to find anymore, and everything's just.
And do you have to go with the installer? Do you have to go?
I usually do, just so I go and I do the measuring myself, so I know exactly where everything is supposed to be hung, and I do actually accommodate the.
That was my problem with my piece, Tracy. You sent Mike to do my installing, and Mike handed it to me. I didn't know what to do, you know.
But
so
sadly, he was my installer when we started the business. But
God love him.
When I enter a house at 8 o'clock for 2 balances, and it would be 5 o'clock, and they would be out ready to come home from work, I was like, we're done. We are so
That's it. You fired
done.
Mike? You fired Mike?
I did. Him and that level just about drove me crazy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the Designing Women,
And that means Tracy McMonagle and Elkie Koch. We'll be right back with Cocktails and Conversation.
At noon, it's the Midday Grind featuring Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan.
Kenny Wallace with us live for the Bahamas. We'll let him go shortly because his wife is there. They're having fun. They're gambling. And
how many drinks in? Be honest.
Eight. Okay. Yeah, listen to this. No beer today because I'm drying out. I drank eight beers yesterday in a short period of time. And my wife had too many margaritas. Oh, she had five margaritas, she just said. So we're drying out today.
Academy Sports and Outdoors is honoring the 4th of July holiday and our veterans and active military by offering a military appreciation sale. Just show your military ID and enjoy a 10% discount on anything in the store.
590 The Fan will be at the St. Peter's location Thursday, June 28th from 1 to 3 with the Hardline, featuring me, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, and Eric Messersmith to help support this event with Cardinal ticket giveaways and other fun prizes just for showing up. We will also be collecting donations for the USO of Missouri, a fantastic organization that helps military in so many ways. Stop by the 590 The Fan remote broadcast 1 to 3 Thursday, June 28th and make a donation while there.
Academy Sports in St. Peter's is located at 5214 North Service Drive Road. For all your sporting goods and outdoor needs, Academy Sports and Outdoors is the place. Don't forget to support veterans and active military by donating to the USO of Missouri on this July 4th week.
Do you suffer from airport boredom, flight delay syndrome, or are you that person who does what they're supposed to do and checks in 2 hours early only to sit in some dirty chair for what seems like a lifetime? Suffer no more, because in Terminal 2, you have Wingtips, an upscale lounge with all-inclusive drinks, food, and ultimate comfort. If you have work to do, you'll feel like a CEO getting ready for your private plane. That's Wingtips Lounge, and mention you heard this on 590 and get a discount on a single-day pass.
Business travelers in the St. Louis area, listen up. Stop complaining about the amount of time you must spend in the airport. Wingtips Lounge, located in Terminal 2, can remedy your entire travel experience. In lounge restrooms, speedy Wi-Fi, a complimentary offering of food and drinks, and a Fortune 100-style conference room can eliminate the words traveling gets old from your vocabulary. Come on in for a single visit or receive great discounts on personalized memberships. Your travel lounge awaits.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Schnucks is proud to partner with Folds of Honor, providing scholarships for the children of fallen or disabled military heroes. Folds of Honor has awarded some 16,000 scholarships, including more than 100 in the St. Louis area. Now through July 4th, round up your purchase at Schnucks and support those families who've sacrificed so much. Join our mission. Visit your neighborhood Schnucks or go to schnucks.com/Folds of Honor.
Sonic's new $3.99 crispy tender dinner is made with 100% all white meat chicken that's cooked to golden perfection. It's a meal so flavorful and crispy, it's flispy, which is a word so made up that they can't believe you thought about looking it up. This is how you Sonic.
Do you suffer from chronic pain, anxiety, or have trouble sleeping? If any of these questions got your attention, the CBD 24 system by Infantry might be your answer. Visit any One Nation Nutrition location in O'Fallon, Wentzville, or St. Peter's for details and change your life.
Every Friday afternoon at 1, it's Hockey Sense with Andy Strickland.
Always appreciate when guests take time to come on our show, especially our guest who's coming up right now, Lou Lamoriello. Great to be joined by Colton Parayko, big right shot defenseman for the St. Louis Blues. We bring in the Hall of Famer. And Chris Pronger, just like that, he says, yeah, I'll be there. The legendary Scotty Bowman, he joins us. Joining us now, Jordan Kyrouf.
It's Hockey Sense on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Standing on our own two feet and bringing on their own bells.
So we're back with Cocktails and Conversation today with Maureen Moore. That's me. And I've got Tracy McMonagle here and Elke Koch, the Designing Women. And ladies, you know, we've talked about our backgrounds and some of the things that you've done and some of your projects and how it all comes together in a workroom compared to being the interior designer and seeing the finished product with your clients. So, Elke, kind of tell me, who have been some of your mentors and who have been some of the people that have pushed you along the way and helped you and guided you? Who are some of those? And who would you want to mentor too?
Oh, I have some younger people that when they get started and I see in the showrooms and we have a round table discussion when we with designers once a month, we try to get together and it's always been in the design business, you don't really share. But as it turns out, we really don't have a competition with the same clients because we all get our client referrals from either our existing clients or from architects or builders.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel that in the last 3 years or so when we have that, I'm learning a lot and I pass that on. What are the good workrooms? What new resources have you found? And where's the good place to get this and this? Mm-hmm. And so the more we share, the better we all are. Because as I said, it was people were afraid. And there is really, we don't compete with one another. I very seldom had someone that is a friend of mine that was a designer that I had to be head-to-head competing. Now, lately, people are interviewing more, which is okay. But it's still, I have never been in a job where I had to compete with one of my other designers for a job.
Well, do they interview? Why do they interview? I mean, why do they interview you both? Is it because of style or time frame or what is it? What are some of the reasons why they interview you?
Well, actually, from my end, I believe it's because of pricing.
Uh-huh.
They want me to get a quote, give them a quote of, you know, what window treatment. If they had a designer that came in, unfortunately, a lot of them either find out who I am or know who I am, and they try to avoid the designer.
Really? And then they try to go straight to you as opposed to going
Correct.
To the designer. Okay.
Correct.
So do they ever, like, buy stuff? Like, you know, you see all the stuff online, and I mean, does that bother you when people are constantly picking up things online and then bringing it to you and saying, okay, can you fit all this into a room and kind of design everything around that? Or can you retrofit the, you know, the curtains or something that came from Wayfair or something?
Right, right. Well, I'm actually doing that for Pottery Barn right now.
So, oh, yeah?
It's just all their ready-mades. They come one certain length and, or two, 84 and 96. And, you know, everybody thinks you have to hang the rod at 84 and it's halfway through their window and it's like, you know, you need to order the longer panels and then I will rehem them. But usually it's not a pretty sight once you start taking it apart and the linings aren't straight and it's difficult. And
just
it's a battle that we're all using, doing right now because I'm fighting because ready-mades are so available and they're instant. And without having to purchase the fabric and having the labor and having a designer come in, they're instant. So it's getting harder out there.
Yeah. Remember when my mom?
Yeah.
Oh, Elke. Oh, my gosh. God rest my mom's soul. When we added on the west wing for her and then we had all these windows. And remember that whole thing, Tracy? Oh, my gosh. Elke, it was a riot because we had all, you know, we're out in the country and we have all open windows. I mean, we really don't have window treatments. Mom was like, I don't want to be sitting here at night and having somebody look in one of those windows at me. So, you know, so I had to go with her and we bought all the fabric and all loads and loads and loads of that fabric. And we gave it all to Tracy and Tracy was going to make all these, what do you call those kind of drapes? Shears. Yeah, shears. And so Tracy gets them all made. They're all hanging. They look beautiful. Guy down the, our handyman, you know, got them all hung. Mom sits down, and she looks at him for 5 minutes. She goes, take them down. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I look like I'm in a hospital. She goes, because everything is white, and all my windows are closed now, and I can't see anything outside. She goes, take them all down. She goes, I guess we'll just use those all now. What was she going to? Oh, she was going to use them. She goes, we'll just use them as table covers, you know, for the dining room table at different times. She goes, then we can just toss them. She goes, because what else are we going to do? We had loads and loads of drapes, didn't we?
Yeah.
I know. And Tracy got them all done for Mom, so she'd be happy. And she's like,
5 minutes, take them down.
Well, I think styles have changed so much. What my experience is, I don't do a lot of real heavy drapes anymore. What I normally do is outlines and panels, because people do want to see out, they want to see in, and things have gotten much more simple. So, which is fine, but, you know, you asked a minute earlier what one of my nightmares was, and when you're, once you put things up, since I work usually at the beginning of the house with the architect, so I can spec things. And sometimes I look at draperies because a lot of time people only want panels, but they want them interlined, which you would understand. You know, so you have four layers. You have flannel, you have a lining, and you have heavy, probably gorgeous fabric. And it's on a wooden pole with rings, usually. And they're very heavy. So if I know that a client wants not composite but wants wood, I spec for my builder that were that they're going up and have them reinforce the wall behind it, because those things don't hang on drywall. You know, they're too heavy. So I spec on when my client on the architectural plans, I say, this is what we're going to do, and I need, when you're in a stud, that's fine, but across the wall, I need to have, in certain places, I need for you to put a heavier wood 2x4 whatever to back it up. Well, I'm assuming they read plans and they do that. And my worst nightmare was, it was 11 o'clock at night one night. We were out to dinner and I get this call. We installed the day before. Called, Elkie, my drapes fell down. I said, what do you mean your drapes fell down? She said, they're laying on the ground and I have holes in the wall. So I said, I'll be there tomorrow morning, first thing. So at 7 o'clock I go in. And it's pretty clear that there was no reinforcement. So I called the builder, and he said, oh, well, we reinforced it. And I said, well, why don't you show up at the house? I expect you in about an hour, and we'll go over this. So he said, oh, I guess they didn't reinforce, which meant they had to tear down the whole wall, the drywall, everything, redo it, because you can't patch it. There were windows. So it was one of those kind of things, and I've never forgot. So now when I do the plans, I go... And I said, before you drywall, I want to look that my 2x4s are enforced and things like that. So sometimes I go in and I always, it's stupidity you can read, but I don't trust myself sometimes with paint. You reverse numbers. So what I do when I do the paint schedule for the whole house, a 10,000 square foot house, I specify the paint and I take a sample and I attach it to it. So if somebody picks up the paint and they open the can of paint and I've got a green one and this is blue, I get a call. And, you know, sometimes I reverse a number. But when you see the paint chip, it's pretty hard to say, well, you know, I didn't know. And so my builders love it because they hire subcontractors who do the painting and things. But those are the things that we remember. They don't happen very often, but they do happen. And that's always the horror story and we laugh about. But... not funny for the client.
Right. Well, and the client handled it pretty well, huh?
Well, I mean, what are they going to...
Well, because it wasn't you. Because the good thing is it wasn't you, too. It
was I always... you said when we do things, I think sometimes as designers, I know we make a mistake. We get interviewed. And it gives me a chance. As they interview me, I can interview them. And if I get a bad vibe, I usually... don't want to take on that client, because if I'm with them for half an hour, and it is bad, I'm thinking I'm going to live with these people on a house for 2 years, sometimes three, depending on the size of the house. I don't want to deal with this every day. This sounds awful. I'm not being Pollyanna about it or, you know, arrogant.
Right.
But it has to be, because they have to let me into their head. They have to live with me. I have to live with them. And if this is not a good relationship from day one, why would I want to beat myself, my head against the wall? So I usually, you know, very gracious, but I said, I know you need somebody right now. It's a great project. I wish I can help you, but I'm not available for at least 6-7 months because I want to do justice to your home. They buy that, and I'm out.
So they don't want you that bad?
Well, no, because they're starting to build. They need selections. I usually get started. I select the outside. I like paint, the roofing colors, the windows,
oh my goodness,
the tile.
Does it all.
All the fixtures, the appliances, the tile, the granite, the flooring. So they can't wait because when the builder gets started, some things need to be selected immediately.
Right.
So that helps. So, you know, yeah, I've always wondered what would happen if they said, that's okay, we can wait. It never happened to me, but then I would go, you know.
Oh, gosh,
so
now I guess I'm going to be stuck with
you.
Yeah.
Position. But I think as designer, it, you know, my business background helps me a lot in what I'm doing because I have a conversation with the client pretty quickly about finances and budget because they don't like surprises, and I don't want to be surprised.
Now, do both of you do your own accounting and do your own billing and do everything?
I do, and
you
I
do?
Wish I did have it more of a business background.
Yeah.
I have more tailoring and...
Well, you're creative. Yeah, you're just so creative and everything.
That's telling everybody that I'm creative, and if there's a little mess I'm at home, it's because I'm creative.
I created that, too. Yeah, I creatively put that little decimal in the wrong spot. I don't know what you mean. 1300 versus 13,000? It was... I'm just creative, you know? Yeah.
But, you know, you ask sometimes what is our worst nightmare, and you said ready-made things... Mm-hmm. Or they want your expertise, but then they want to go shop you online and things like that. So usually when I start with the client, we get to the budget pretty quickly. You know, what is your, what's the scope of the project? Now, the selection, as far as that's concerned, I don't have anything to do with. I select, and sometimes it's an upcharge because the builder has it in the price of the home. So that helps. But sometimes they like a granite that is more upscale, and they are willing to do. And I said, this is more expensive. You might need to talk to the builder. So it's an upcharge.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
It's done.
So what about Carrara? What do you think about that? You know, I'm so crazy about Carrara marble. What do you think? You think I should do the Carrara marble in the kitchen?
Well,
I really want to do it.
Carrara marble is pretty light, and it is very porous.
Right.
So unless you're meticulously in the kitchen and you don't have a lot of spills, I would not.
Look at Tracy. Tracy's looking at me like, okay, Mo, it's not for you. Thanks, Tracy.
Well, I had a client. I
just
lost
saying.
The client.
Just saying.
I lost
yeah.
the client yeah. over it. She wanted, she was a cook, and she wanted white marble in her kitchen.
Yeah.
And I said, I wouldn't recommend it because the way you cook, it stains.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get it clean. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I don't care. That's what I want. I said, that's your thing. But the builder made him sign a release.
Really?
That they are not responsible for what happens. And sure enough, the next year she tore it out because all she had was these rings and stains.
Mm-hmm.
So I prefer sometimes, that's why I do granite in the kitchen. Because it's in bathrooms now. I do very seldom. Do we do marble anymore, especially in the bathroom with women and makeup and acids and all of that.
Yeah.
But it is a little more expensive, but you're going to live in that house, hopefully, for a long, long time.
Well, but I just love the look of the Carrara. Would I do quartz instead or would I do granite? I mean, I want something that looks exactly like
granite
Carrara.
Granite is easier.
Granite is easier?
Than the Carrara marble. The marble tends to be a lot more porous.
Can you put hot stuff on? On the granite?
Yes.
Can you put anything hot on it?
Direct.
Okay.
You can put it directly on the...
You can?
Yeah.
Because I just really want to change that whole island, you know, I mean, and I've talked about it forever and to the point where I keep thinking, okay, when am I going to finally pull the trigger on that, you know, because I want to do that with that island.
And I don't know, you know, when we're talking about, you mentioned a budget or money, I don't know how you do it. I give people, you know, a choice when we work and I have ways of doing it.
You can
either charge them for the total project.
Okay.
I do cost per room, flat design fee. I do hourly rate, which can range anywhere from $75 to $250. Not for me. I'm talking about the expertise of the designers. A new person that's coming out of school, getting started, they're not going to be warranting $250.
Right.
Most of my friends that in the round table we're in the $150 to $250 range. But, and that is somewhat protecting you because when I go out and find fabrics, My hour starts, or my time starts when I go in that showroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I got back and they don't like anything, now I have some idea. I'm not going to bring, we're going to talk about color schemes and all of that.
Right.
So I bring things, and I usually do two or three vignettes. And so, but if they don't like anything, you know, we start all over. But, mm-hmm. you know, I had a client one time. She didn't like a trim, and it's not brain surgery. It's a trim that goes around a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she made me go to the showroom three times for 2 yards of trim. Well, each time she paid, and then she got upset. Well, I said, that's what it took me. You didn't like, you know, you could have come to the showroom with me.
See, if you'd had Tracy doing it, you could have just blamed it on Tracy and said, that darn workroom.
Everybody usually does.
Oh, they usually do. Yeah.
But
like, she put the wrong one on there.
Stuff like that that you have to educate. You have to educate the client, you know. And normally, if you upfront about it, they will understand.
Yeah.
And I also do what I call, I give them a discount. I think we, as designers, we often are world's worst enemy because we don't disclose. I disclose. You have another option is I sell you my things at my cost,
uh-huh.
and I give you, and I charge an upcharge at a certain percentage. You can look at my invoices. You can, mm-hmm. I can show you what they cost, and I'm charging an X percent over that.
Right.
So, you know, but then they go online.
Right.
So that's why in that situation, I still charge by the hour. I don't give that up because mm-hmm. I get my money when I go look. If you want to shop me and you can mm-hmm. find it online, be my guest.
Yeah, because that would be tough. You know, it would be tough.
But I'm not
kind of
going to
that.
Do it all for free.
Oh,
that's
I wouldn't either.
That's my livelihood.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
That
but that's what
head.
People expect.
Yeah, you got to get that in your head, don't you, Trace?
I do. I do it for free. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, we are here with the Designing Women, and that's Elke Cook of EK Interior Designs. And we're here with also Tracy McMonagle. And Tracy, maiden name Milligan, is just a wonderful old friend that always looks better than me. And Elke Cook, a really dear, dear friend. We'll be back. Hi, this is Maureen Moore. And two of my favorite things are an occasional cocktail and conversing with women. Now you can enjoy them both with me. Tune in to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore. It's an enlightening segment featuring inspiring women from a variety of backgrounds discussing their careers, motivations, accomplishments, philanthropic endeavors, and families. Join me for a fascinating hour of conversation every Friday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. on KFNS 590 The Fan. You know, talk is cheap. Next round's on me.
Schnucks is proud to partner with Folds of Honor, providing scholarships for the children of fallen or disabled military heroes. Folds of Honor has awarded some 16,000 scholarships, including more than 100 in the St. Louis area. Now through July 4th, round up your purchase at Schnucks and support those families who've sacrificed so much. Join our mission. Visit your neighborhood Schnucks or go to schnucks.com/Folds of Honor.
Academy Sports and Outdoors is honoring the 4th of July holiday and our veterans and active military by offering a military appreciation sale. Just show your military ID and enjoy a 10% discount on anything in the store.
590 The Fan will be at the St. Peter's location Thursday, June 28th from 1 to 3 with the Hardline, featuring me, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, and Eric Messersmith to help support this event with Cardinal ticket giveaways and other fun prizes just for showing up. We will also be collecting donations for the USO of Missouri, a fantastic organization that helps military in so many ways. Stop by the 590 The Fan remote broadcast 1 to 3 Thursday, June 28th and make a donation while there.
Academy Sports in St. Peter's is located at 5214 North Service Drive Road. For all your sporting goods and outdoor needs, Academy Sports and Outdoors is the place. Don't forget to support veterans and active military by donating to the USO of Missouri on this July 4th week.
At Michelob Ultra, we brew our beer for those who give it their all and still give up nothing. So when the weather starts to heat up, cool down with the crisp, clean taste of Michelob Ultra. That's why with 95 calories and 2.6 carbs, this beer is brewed for those who live fit, live fun, live ultra. Enjoy responsibly. 2018 Michelob Ultra Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, 0.6 grams protein, 0.0 grams fat for 12 ounces.
Do you suffer from airport boredom, flight delay syndrome, or are you that person who does what they're supposed to do and checks in 2 hours early only to sit in some dirty chair for what seems like a lifetime? Suffer no more, because in Terminal 2, you have Wingtips, an upscale lounge with all-inclusive drinks, food, and ultimate comfort. If you have work to do, you'll feel like a CEO getting ready for your private plane. That's Wingtips Lounge, and mention you heard this on 590 and get a discount on a single-day pass.
Business travelers in the St. Louis area, listen up. Stop complaining about the amount of time you must spend in the airport. Wingtips Lounge, located in Terminal 2, can remedy your entire travel experience. In lounge restrooms, speedy Wi-Fi, a complimentary offering of food and drinks, and a Fortune 100-style conference room can eliminate the words traveling gets old from your vocabulary. Come on in for a single visit or receive great discounts on personalized memberships. Your travel lounge awaits.
So raise your glass if you are mad. In all the right ways, all the underdogs. We will never be anything but loud and nitty gritty.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Rolling through another Cocktails and Conversation for you here on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Don't forget, show every Friday from 2 until 3 o'clock. The replay, in case you missed it, can be heard on Saturdays at 11 a.m. or on Sunday at 7 a.m. Let's turn it over to our host, Maureen Moore.
And we're back. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation. I'm here today with Elke Koch of EK Interior Designs, and Tracy McMonagle. You know, she is the workroom of custom draperies, custom fabrics, custom pillows, bedding, accessories. So, ladies, we've kind of gone through a lot of different areas, and I think we ought to probably talk a little bit personally, you know, who you're married to, how long you've been married, you know, kids, no kids, projects, what's going on now in your life, and you know, some of the things you've done philanthropically, too. Now, as we're doing it, we are sipping mimosas today for Cocktails and Conversation and having chocolates. I brought in three different ones that we have today. We've got milk, dark, and then also a dark mint chocolate. Now, these are all different Straub's pieces, you know, that Saddleback Chocolates has at Straub's. So it's always nice to mix a little bit of chocolate and have a little bit of chocolate time with a nice cocktail. Sounds so good. Welcome back.
Chocolate is the answer, no matter what.
There you go. And she just falls right into that, doesn't she, Jim? Elke Koch, the voice of Saddleback Chocolates. You know, you're elegant and it's, you know, really, how many people have told you, God, Elke, I heard you on the radio.
Well, it's sort of weird because I don't think I sound different than anybody else.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah, really. What part of that, right?
You never, because I don't hear myself talk. But I had a call from our lead chair of our, my husband is in real estate, and he was going home, and he heard on one of the radio stations. I said, when I came home, Debbie, I heard Elke on the radio, and she said, oh, you can't. And he said, I swear. So he calls me, and he said, sure enough, that was me. He said, I just knew. It sounded like your voice. And, you know, but I don't hear it, I guess.
That's okay, Elke. We all hear it, right, Trace? Yeah, we hear
definitely
it. We hear it very clearly.
That laugh
from the Midwest.
That first laugh I got, I could understand it. But if you want me to jump in.
Go ahead.
You said talk a little bit about personal life, family, and husband. And you said, how do you make time? And I consciously try to make time for special moments that we have together and never lose sight of ultimately what's important to us as a couple. So sometimes it requires me to say no, but my husband and I often plan special evenings, special date nights, and we take short trips, weekend trips, where we get away from everything because he's in business as well, and make sure we don't forget that life is all about staying connected and staying romantic. We've been married 35 years, dated for No, we dated, married 33 years, dated for five.
Right.
And I finally had to sort of notch it a little. And he still tells everybody she wouldn't have left. You know,
oh,
but everybody that knows
Paul said,
yes, Paul, she would
she
have.
She would have left,
you know?
Yeah.
But he took
yeah.
that to get. But now it's the happiest 38 years we've been together.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's the prince of a guy.
He is. He is. Has his own business. He grew up in a real estate company. I mean, a real estate family. They used to build homes, South County. And then he went to law school, then went to Jack, you know, as an attorney. And then came back home and started building homes. And then he mm-hmm. moved from there into commercial real estate. And that's what he still does today. But he got out of multi-housing. And we do mostly now strictly commercials, office buildings, warehouses. And our latest thing, if I can say Ferris wheels. We built the first modern Ferris wheel 200 feet high at Myrtle Beach. And we're now mm-hmm. having three others in process. The next one is going Panama Beach, then Kentucky across from Cincinnati on the Mississippi, and the third one will be Virginia.
Oh, wow.
So everybody always, when they hear that, they want to talk about
that.
It's
so cool.
But it's really, people said, how do you get from real estate to building to get Ferris wheels? They're all built in Europe, of course. And Pa said, basically, it's a real estate deal.
Mm-hmm.
You lease or you buy a piece of ground and you rent. Structure that's 200 feet high, and it goes around, and every time it goes around, it goes ka-chink, you get paid. I mean, it's just like getting paid rent, except it's immediately.
It's
and
so
it's
cool.
Every few minutes.
It's so cool. Well, you know, Matt Stack put out a really neat thing on Facebook.
Our managing partner at our company, and he's in charge of all the Ferris wheels.
And Matt and Aaron are coming out to the house with the kids to see the horses and spend a day out at our house out at Saddleback Stables. But it's kind of neat because the video that Mac just put up there, it was really cool because it was really showing the erection of the wheel.
The real life as it was going up.
It was so cool, yeah. So it was really neat. But, yeah, Matt and Aaron, we've been fortunate to see them at a lot of your parties and meet them and get to know them better. So
Ferris wheels.
Yeah. Oh, they're awesome.
Well, I know there was always been one in Myrtle Beach. I remember one when I was growing
this
up down
there. This one's huge.
Like Chicago's?
The new one in Chicago is the same kind that we have.
Yeah.
But
like the one in England, too. Isn't there one in London?
Well, that is that's much bigger. Las Vegas.
That's like Vegas.
You know,
okay.
We don't have that big of pockets, nor we want to make money. And
yeah.
Those.
They would take a while to return their investment, I'm sure. Yeah.
But.
These are air conditioned. The gondola is air conditioned and heated, right?
Heated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take you to get around?
About 5 minutes. You get three evolution.
Being heated and air conditioned.
And sometimes they stop on the top. Oh, yeah. We have weddings on there and special events, so it's really it's really sort of neat.
Got to get into my Ferris wheels.
Yeah.
I know, it's really cool. Now the thing is, I don't know that when we finally go on one of yours, Elkie, we're going to go, but we're going to know who's in control of it down below because Mike Moore, one time we had the kids at Six Flags, and he thought it would be great to have us stuck at the top. And then the kids started acting up, and I was scared to death. I was crying. I was a mess by the time we got down. You know, I mean, and
these
that's
are enclosed capsules.
Oh,
so
I know.
You can't get in.
Well, yeah, yours are great, you know, and yours, it would feel more like I was, you know, just
like
up in a skyscraper.
A bridge,
yeah.
That,
yeah. Oh, God,
Tracy. You were screaming at the kids.
That was where were we? We were in
Canada.
In Canada, yeah, and we were in Vancouver.
Sure.
Yeah, we were on that bridge. It was this big bridge. What do you call that thing? It was
that rocking.
Oh, it was horrible, and I was scared to death to go over it. You know, and we're 600, 800 feet up. Who is it? Sylvester Stallone did some big stunt off of that bridge in some of one of those crazy movies. The kids get into the middle of the bridge. And they start swaying it and rocking it as I'm going across. I'm scared to death. And I'm going, die off, stop. And, of course, Mike McMonagle has to get the whole thing on video with me totally losing it as our two kids and McMonagle's two kids are all acting up in the middle thinking this is great, watching me freak out because I was scared to death to go over that rope bridge. It was like a big swinging rope bridge. I was scared, you know. Yeah, thanks, Tracy.
Suspended.
Yeah, like suspended. Yeah, thanks a lot, Tracy. Yeah, those are some of my look at Tracy.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't stop laughing. I couldn't go across because I was laughing too hard.
So what are your and your husband do for fun?
Yeah.
For fun.
Yeah. What do you do for fun, Tracy, besides make fun of me?
Well, since his
and
knee,
working.
Yes, yes. Well, actually we've just started biking together. So
oh Lord.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just starting off because I can't turn a bike. I can't turn, or if I get stuck in a rut, I've got to stop. So to get my tire back on something that's solid ground, but we're just starting to bike a little bit. But since I went on two bike rides, I've now completely have ripped all the tendons in my hand. So it's like a
did you fall? Palsy.
No, it's just that I locked my hand, and so now it's like, you know, you pick up something and it's like you're a limp noodle.
You were always a limp noodle.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's another story for another day.
Well, that's because Mike's not playing soccer anymore.
No, he's not playing
with
soccer
him being
anymore.
Sidelined. And you know what?
His
was
knees
really
have gone out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with those knees. I mean, between Mike McMonagle's knees and Mike Moore's ankles, and Mike Moore actually coached Mike McMonagle in college. Isn't that cool?
That's what Tracy said.
Yeah,
earlier.
Yeah. And when I first met Tracy, it was in Dallas when you were still dating Mike in mm-hmm. the very beginning. So yes, yeah, so we've had several trips, family trips, you know, and occasions and everything together. It's just old family with us, you know. It's funny. But you guys have done some really neat things, too, and some of the current things you're doing. I mean, philanthropically with what you've done with Variety Club. Tracy, you've got, you know, you've got Dream House. I mean, that thing's rocking and rolling.
I do. Dream House Boutique is a upscale women's clothing store for, I'd probably say the average age is about 40 on up.
Mm-hmm.
But we cater to, we have fashion
shows. Is
that
shows. In Illinois? Or?
It's off of Clayton and Kerr's Mill in the Claymont
okay.
Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer fashion shows and lunches on certain days. We have a great, great website to look up all those times that we have offer lunches. And we just had a Monogram Shop Initial Designs come in along with us. And so we're looking for other vendors to kind of make it a little one-stop shop destination place. So.
And it's a non-for-profit?
No.
You hope to have profit out of it, right?
Yes, yes. I hope
you
so.
Hope to have,
there's nothing wrong with that.
We do have a lot of events that we cater to the Assistance League of St.
Mm-hmm.
Louis, and as well as the Circle Concern, we have done events that support their causes. So, but my big thing right now this year is getting ready for my daughter's wedding.
Yes.
That is the same date as my husband's and ours anniversary as well. So we'll be married 34 years. And my
it's going to be 34 years, Trace?
34. I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was that big MAC wedding. I think it was the first time I was at the MAC for a wedding. Well, because we're peers. We're contemporaries. And, I mean, you know, that was, did you have a white Rolls or a white something?
Silver Shadow.
That's okay.
My father's.
Your dad's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's funny now. That's pouring buckets. Took us forever to get there because it only went like 55 miles, like tops.
Uh-huh.
And it started shaking. I mean, everybody's wondering where we were, and it from Sunset Hills to downtown. I think we were like 2 hours.
Again, thank you, ladies, so much for today and for joining us and being here for Cocktails and Conversation. It's always a pleasure. One thing we always say on the show is that we feel very strongly that it's strong women. May we know them. Of course, I know you both so well. May we be them, which, of course, you are. May we raise them. Well, with Megan, you certainly have raised a very strong woman, you know. And I think you could say that you've raised a very strong woman, too, haven't you?
Yeah, I have two. I have two. You know, my husband had two children, but they're mine.
They're yours. Yeah, they're yours.
They're very successful.
Very strong women.
They're very strong.
Mm-hmm.
They're very strong. And I'm very proud of
nice.
And may we say then, may we also praise them, because it's important that, you know, with Cocktails and Conversation, that women today, that we praise other women. So
absolutely.
Guess what? You know what? Talk is cheap, but the next round's on me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
That will put a wrap on our show for today. Cocktails and Conversation. We will have much more for you next Friday. Show live from 2 to 3. If you miss it on Friday, you can check it out Saturday morning at 11 or Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Have a great day, everyone.